Okay. Just last night, I happened to be watching a short little, I don't know what you call it, sermonette, something, by a girl who was teaching on the subject of modesty, and she happened to be talking about the subject of the bikini. And I think it's absolutely amazing that Christians should have to be taught on that subject. The Bible says to be modest. And if a girl can't at least grasp that much, she's pretty obviously, purposely closing her ears to what the Bible says. Shutting off her conscience. And I think there's a lot of other subjects that Christians do the same thing with. And this morning I'm going to talk about music. I'm not going to go into any specific styles. I'm not going to talk about this style and that style. My purpose is to show you a few things that the Bible does say. Some concepts that a lot of people I think have overlooked and had. This may even be some completely new ideas for some of you guys. But I'm confident that if anybody takes what the Bible does say at face value, I won't have to make any specifics. I won't have to draw any specific lines. This style's right, that style's wrong. But I'm confident that anybody takes these principles that the Bible teaches at face value, they will come to some of their own conclusions and draw some of their own lines. Won't necessarily land at the same place I do, but you'll at least have some sort of a standard. And after all, if somebody isn't going to listen to their own conscience when showed what the Bible says, why should I say anything? You certainly wouldn't listen to me if you won't listen to your own conscience. But I guess I want to have a quick word of prayer before I get farther into this. Father, I pray that you would be with me this morning. I pray that you will be with all of us. Help us to set aside all the feelings of our heart. Set aside all of our prejudices. And just face square up to what the Bible says on this. Amen. The first thing that I want to establish, and this I'm just going to establish as much just from reality as from what the Bible says, and that's just that music is language. And the Bible tells us to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep in Romans 12:15. If you are sad and a friend comes and cries with you, it'll make you feel better. If you are happy and you have someone to rejoice with, it will multiply your joy. If you're weeping and someone weeps with you, their tears answer to your tears. And you just feel much better. But this principle goes farther than these two things. If you are bitter, you will find a friendship with someone who is bitter. If you are angry, you will find friendship with someone who is angry. And sometimes your friendship will even make you feel better. And music is the same way. If you are sad, sad music will make you feel better because it answers to your sad heart. If you are happy, happy music will answer to your happy heart and increase your happiness. I once heard a story of a boy who said, my rock music can't be wrong because I hate my dad. But every time I listen to my music, it makes me feel better and I don't hate him so much. But that goes along exactly with what I'm saying. Because if you are angry, if you are hateful, that angry music, that hateful music answers to your heart and makes you not feel so extreme. makes you feel better, but it doesn't make it right. A rebel will feel better when he listens to music that has a spirit of rebellion in it. When it comes to being happy, when it comes to being sad, these things are neither right or wrong. But when it comes to anger, bitterness, such things, all of a sudden we have issues. Those things are wrong in and of themselves. It's okay to have music that has a happy spirit. It's okay to have music that has a sad spirit. But music that speaks in the language of anger, of bitterness, is wrong, even if it makes you feel better. In Proverbs 25:20, we read, "As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart." So is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. And in chemistry, there is a specific word for something like baking soda. When you mix baking soda and vinegar, you say it effervesces, gives off bubbles. And vinegar and nitre have the same effect. If you mix nitre with vinegar, it effervesces and it gives off bubbles. And Solomon likens this bubbling effect as the same thing when someone sings songs to a heavy heart. And he says again, another place, that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I see a little bit of a parallel of an idea in all this, in the concept that music is language. If you're going to sing to a heavy heart, you at least need to sing somber songs. A somber song won't necessarily have the same effect. It won't have that effervescing effect as another song might. You see, a sad song can lift the spirits of a sad person just the same as weeping with a friend will lift your spirits. The writer of the song speaks to the depth of your soul, not with words, not with tears, but with music. Maybe the music that he wrote when he was feeling the same way you feel now. And I'm throwing out these things. They're not all perfectly parallel, but there's a little length of parallel in them. When one dog barks, another dog will bark. My dad was once visiting with a man. He just recently told this story, so some of you guys would already know it. But this man had some giant Japanese breed of dog. Big, big dog. And so my dad was standing on the street talking with this guy, and across the, on the other side of the street, another man was walking his dog with a big Rottweiler. And we usually think of a Rottweiler as a big dog that isn't afraid of anything. So this Rottweiler was barking at him, and this dog just sat there and didn't even look. And the less this dog reacted, the wilder and crazier that the Rottweiler barked at him. And so much so my dad noticed and asked him, like, "What's happening here?" And the guy said, "Oh, in dog language, there's nothing more insulting to another dog than not to respond when you're barked at, because it's like saying you're not even worth the time of day." And in Proverbs 15:1, we read, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And yet there's another circumstance where there is nothing that will make someone quite as angry as not responding at all. Sometimes you're on such a different level from somebody that you didn't even realize you were supposed to be upset. And oh my, my, that'll make them mad. Because you're not even connecting. There's no, on your side, you're not even upset. Their side, they're angry, and that makes them twice as angry. If you would just respond with a little bit of anger, they would feel, I don't know exactly how to express it. They would feel like they accomplished what they were trying to do. They would feel accomplished in their anger if it made you angry. But when it doesn't, there's no reciprocation, and it just boils inside of them. And I'm just trying to draw this same parallel. Deep calleth unto deep, the Bible says. Dogs call unto dogs. Birds call unto birds. One bird starts singing and another bird chimes in. You hear one crow call and the other crow calls. It's just the reality of life. All things call unto them of the same kind. And when anger tries calling unto anger, and there's no reciprocation, it just boils inside of the one person who it started in. Just like that story of those two dogs. And I'm just using this as a little bit of a story to draw a picture. Because the style of music you like is simply an expression of your heart. You like the style of music that resonates with the call of your heart. It's just that simple. Matthew 12:34, we read, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I don't believe I'm stretching anything to say that on a lesser level, the same thing applies to music. The style of music you sing is simply the abundance of your heart speaking forth. And what's interesting is if a man is angry while he speaks, it'll come out. If a man is angry while he writes a letter, it'll come out. If a man is angry while he writes a song, it will come out. And then Christians, they take the man who speaks and they tell him, stop. You have no right to speak like that. Then they tell the man who writes, wait, you have no right to write like that. Then they take the man who writes the music. He has enough self-control not to speak angrily, not to write angrily, but he still expresses the feelings of his heart in his music. They take that music and they say, ah, you're a good artist. I don't think so. Music, not the words. The very music itself expresses where your heart is at. Anger, bitterness, rebellion. Every fruit of the flesh can be expressed in music. Just like every fruit of the Spirit can be expressed in music. Music is a language. And I'm going to move on to my next major point. Besides music being a language, the next thing that I want to establish, there is enough information we have in the Bible that I believe that it is biblical for me to say that God and the devil each have their music preference. I believe I can prove that in the next few short minutes. In Ezekiel 28:13, we read, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. This is speaking of the devil. He was created as the anointed cherub. And when he was created with tabrets and pipes built into him. And at first we go, wait, this is kind of crazy. But then we stop and think that God created musical instruments into us too. The human voice is the most musical instrument ever. Nothing really compares to it. And here we see that the devil has musical instruments created into him, both tabrets and pipes. He was created very musically. And we move on to God. In Exodus 15:2, we read, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." The Lord is my strength and song. Song. This word song here is literally instrumental music. We see this same thing three times in Scripture. The next time is Isaiah 12:2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Psalm 118:14. "The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation." Song. All three times this is the same word, song. Meaning instrumental music. And then we find out that God himself actually sings. In Zephaniah 3:17 we read, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." This isn't God having his angels sing for him. This isn't God having his saints sing for him. This is God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of me and you, himself singing with his voice. Music isn't just for man. God himself likes music. Some would say that the only thing God cares about is the heart. You know, what is the music expressing? You know, what is the heart? But I disagree. God himself actually enjoys melody. God enjoys harmony. God enjoys music. I will have to agree with them, though, that the heart from which the song is coming is the most important thing. In Amos 5:21 we read, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell at your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. And of course, God was saying this because the people were wicked. Because I don't care. And here he even mentions melody. He's listing all these things that normally he would love. But he says, I cannot accept them from you. peace offerings, burnt offerings, songs, melody, vials. God normally loves to hear a melody, but he couldn't accept them from these people because of their wickedness. So let's face it, both God and the devil are very musical beings. And there are several stories we can find through Scripture that illustrate this even further. Where we can get a little glimpse of the working of these things in the background. If we turn to 2 Kings 13:14, you guys don't have to turn there, I got the passage here. Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water." Minstrel is simply a man that plays a stringed instrument. At this time in the history of the world, it was generally a harp. So here's Elisha. He has the king Jehoshaphat and the king Ahab went out to war with, I believe, the Moabites. And they made some bad decisions and they found themselves in a valley that they shouldn't have camped in with nothing to drink. So they turn and they ask God for help. And God says, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, if it was just you, Ahab, I'd let you die there. But because of Jehoshaphat, I'll look towards thee. So Elisha says, bring me a minstrel. He had this man play the harp. He used the playing of the harp to set the stage. Harp music was used. I don't know exactly what happened here, but it's what happened. He used music to help him hear from God. Next story I want to turn to. This one's a little more, or pretty commonly used in this subject. Remember David and Saul. I'm going to again read a little passage here. 1 Samuel 16:14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person. The Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." This wasn't something they did once. This was something that became a regular thing. When an evil spirit was troubling Saul, David would take his harp and would play. And Saul would be refreshed, and the evil spirit would depart. And I don't know what you see here. But if you just look beyond the surface happenings and look into the spirit world and see the spiritual warfare, I get the idea that David playing the harp bothered the evil spirit more than the enjoyment that evil spirit got out of bothering Saul. And he would leave because he didn't like that kind of music. David wasn't singing. He was playing a harp, instrumental music. And the spirit would leave. Here we see two instances of harp music. Melody-based music being used as a good thing. And as I started out by saying, I don't intend to go into anything very specific on any specific kind of music. This style being right, that style being wrong. But I do have another verse on the other hand. Another example of music in Exodus 32:17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the peoples as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and drawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" Here we see another style of music. This style of music was a style of music that the children of Israel started singing when they turned to idol worship. And Joshua had never heard such music before. He didn't recognize it as music, and he thought it was people fighting. He thought it was a war. So we have a little bit of examples here of different styles of music. Not going to go into any specifics. I don't intend to go into any specifics. I don't think it's necessary. But these are just some things that the Bible has laid out on music. This is the foundation of what godly music should be built off of. These concepts. And I am confident, as I started out by saying, that if you take these verses home, and begin to live by them, you will of your own accord come up with some kind of a standard of what music is right and what music is wrong. I have no intention to get you have the same standard that I have. I just want you to be honest with what the Bible does say and have some kind of a standard. According to these examples that were given in Scripture. I thought I had one thought that I was going to came across when I was talking, but now it slipped my mind. So, I just guess I want to close with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would help us all to be faithful. Help us to totally set aside our prejudices, as this subject is one that most everybody has them. Help us just to accept what your word does say on this subject. Help us to be faithful to it. Amen. And I remembered what I wanted to say. Just, this church, we've always taken a strong stand on music here. And growing up as one of the young people here myself, I've heard a lot of things over the past so many years. People not fully understanding why. Because it's very easy. As a preacher, you can't necessarily go into the depths of every subject every time you mention it. You can't, every time you mention that rock music is wrong, you can't necessarily go into all these verses. Or whatever kind of music you want to mention is not being right. And so I hope that some of these concepts, some of these verses, some of these ideas can be enlightening to anybody who has had questions on this subject. Wondering why our church has taken a stand. Maybe you yourself have taken a stand and you're not fully sure why. I hope some of these verses, some of these stories, as you dwell on them, as you think about them, will become clear to you. Let's dismiss.